very large percentage.
Yeah, the total city ownership, including our other departments. Total ownership, 284.2 Cloud shares. And as Larry was saying, the outstanding shares in the company is 600. So that gives us about 47.4% ownership currently.
I know a lot of the area that was served by the Loudoun has been occupied by development in the city. So.
That's kind of interesting. I think it's the only ditch that water leaves our basin. So, is that right, Larry?
No, we have on the south side of the river, we have Home Supply and Handy that do go out of the basin into the St. Grain. On the north side, though, that is the only one.
I think, isn't this right around the divide right there?
The hydraulic divide is basically right at the north tip of Boyd Lake. In fact, that's Donuth Reservoir right there, which belongs to the Loudoun, and it's sitting right on the hydraulic divide. It's downhill from both ways there.
Other questions?
Okay, any other questions? All right, let's hear a motion.
I move to accept into the City of Lubbock Water Bank one share originating from stock certificate number 3902 of Loudoun Irrigating Canal and Reservoir Company.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Any more discussion? All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, motion passed.
Thank you.
Unanimous. All right. Yep, you're up. Okay, item number 7. Proposed modification to the Platte River Power Authority organic contract and power supply agreement.
Thank you. Again, this is almost the third time that you've seen this, and there are there are no changes to the organic contract or the power supply agreement, but there are some subtle additions when it comes to the whereas clauses which precede the actual organic contract and joint supply agreement. Just of note, I received an email today from Fort Collins, and their city council approved this at first reading last night, the organic contract and the power supply agreement between Flat River and Fort Collins. So what are the two documents we're discussing this afternoon? One is the organic contract. This is the document that actually formed Platte River Power Authority. It is not signed by Platte River Power Authority. It is only signed by the four owner cities, Estes Park, Loveland, Fort Collins, and Longmont. It was renewed back in, it was initially executed in 1975. It was renewed in 2010 with a 2050 expiration. That's one of the changes that they're proposing this time. Each of the four cities has individual power supply agreements with PRPA. They're very common, but at the end there's another appendix that talks about certain types of practices that they have in terms of the interrelationship at the substations, maintenance, and so on. Again, last time these were renewed was 2050. And what this basically is saying, look, we, the four cities, the owner cities, are going to buy our power from you, and it provides security for revenue bonds that are issued by Platte River. So, why do they want to renew now? They may be going into some bonding here over the next couple of years, and so this extending the life of the organization to 2060 does provide flexibility for those bond issuances. And as you know, most of the recent acquisitions of intermittent resources, which are solar and wind, have been done not by purchasing the hardware themselves, but by entering into power purchase agreements or PPAs. And so having this life extension will allow greater flexibility in negotiating those PPAs. They also wanted to update content related to distributed generation, prepare for an organized market. Unfortunately, negotiations with Southwest Power Pool I don't know necessarily to say they fell apart, but because one of the partners in the Mountain West Transmission Group, Xcel Energy, pulled out of those negotiations, given the nature of that organization after Xcel pulled out, the negotiations with Southwest Power Pool, which is a regional transmission organization, an organized market, kind of fell to the wayside. As a parenthetical note, conversations do continue with a number of other entities regarding markets and abilities to integrate intermittent resources into the mix. It also creates a mechanism for incremental changes to the PSAs rather than going out for major changes during the every 10 years or 20 years. Changes for the organic contract, not terribly substantive. They originally wanted to go out to 2075, and through some negotiations with the owner cities, they decided it was only going to be 2060. That seems to be acceptable to everybody. There are minor edits and language clarifications that are absolutely non-substantive. Now, the PSAs, this was where it kind of fell apart here last month. I was getting ready to present this to y'all last month, and there were some last-minute negotiations about the whereas clauses that precede, and these are in the packet, but these are the whereas clauses that precede the actual agreement itself. Oftentimes, with no disrespect to our esteemed counsel over here, a lot of times the whereas clauses can be kind of boilerplate and not very substantive. But oftentimes, again, depending on the nature of the contract, they can be substantive. And we had discussions about these, and I think these are kind of somewhat substantial, and I think they're good. I think they're good whereas statements. Is there a formal term for that? Not a whereas statement.
Whereas.
Just whereas.
Well, Colbert said meanwhile, but
they're just prefatory clauses.
Right. Whereas.
Okay.
Casually, they're fluff, but
it acknowledges this. I think these are all important points. Now, I'm glad they were brought up. The parties are acknowledging by these changes that the electric industry, the power industry, is evolving from what it was, which was primarily a central station power, to one that will likely employ increasing amounts of distributed generation. They note that recently the board passed a resource diversification policy with the goal of becoming 100% non-carbon by 2030, and that distributed generation will be needed to achieve this goal. Intermittent resources must be managed, and that's one of the challenges right now. They're not the other aspect of an intermittent resource, such as solar or wind, is that it's non-dispatchable, and that makes it very problematic for the transmission grid. They also want to acknowledge that the PRPA will equitably manage the impact of adding and firming intermittent resources amongst the four communities. So that there's no favored son in this, that's or favored daughter, as the case may be, equitably and favorably. I think those are the important points, and I think, again, I think they were important points, so I'm glad that we pulled this last month. The other one, how the PSAs may be revised and modified in the future, and introduces the possibility of future modification of bond covenants to acknowledge the addition of distributed energy resources. The substantive changes were the same as I presented to you a couple of months ago. 2060 extension, they're expanding the exceptions to the all requirements obligation to allow third-party solar development. And again, this is acknowledging that distributed energy sources are becoming more prevalent. This is a fairly technical point. They're changing the metering, in other words, what they charge us. They're changing it from the low side to the high side of the transformers. That's one of the that would have been one of the requirements that we would have to do if we had entered to the Southwest Power Pool. Apparently, and I speak only from being told this, apparently it's fairly standard among organized markets and RTOs. They also said, and this is also interesting, They say we are going to do organized outreach, planned outreach to discuss new technologies and business models. And finally, this is an individual change for each power supply agreement is to the interface between ourselves and Platte River Power at each of our substations, because each of the cities do things just a little bit differently. We've been discussing this for coming on, I guess, close to a year now. We have had discussions with board members and utility directors. As I said, the initial presentation was in January. Today, the March meeting, we were planning, if you approve today, we would like to take it to council on the 16th. As I mentioned, Fort Collins had the first reading last night and they passed it unanimously. And I do not have a schedule for Longmont and Estes Park, but that is forthcoming. So, any questions, gentlemen?
That was going to be my question, is what's the position of Longmont and Estes Park?
They have had no objections. I think it's a matter of scheduling. To my knowledge, there are no problems with the underlying statements of either the organic contract or the power supply agreement. This has been discussed at the board of directors and the utility directors, and there have been no objections. So I believe it's merely a matter of logistics and timing.
Hey, yeah, just to refresh my memory, last time we were talking about this baseline of September 5, 74 for level of this power generation capacity. I think.
Yes, sir. At that time in 1974, which was before 1976, before the flood, that flood, not this flood, we had about 980 kilowatts, I believe, just under a megawatt of power produced by our hydro dam up in the Big Thompson Canyon. And it was that language that acknowledged that you had a grandfathered 980 kilowatts. That was part of the leverage that was used when we brought in the 3-megawatt solar facility out at Foothills. And so that was part of the grandfathering. We entered into negotiations with PRPA and they said, okay, you've got this 980, but you've got this additional increment. And I think that's one of the elements of flexibility that they've discussed very, very frankly and openly, that should somebody else come up with an opportunity to do that, one of the other four partner cities, that they could do that as well.
So we have quite a bit of room there before even hit the 74 generation.
No, that was 980 kilowatts, just under a megawatt. Yeah, it was under a megawatt of power, and the solar foothills is 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sort of an off question, what's the solar capacity now of the Platte River? I think they've implemented it.
They're buying another, I knew you were going to ask me that. It's got 30 megawatts up there right now, and I think they're adding another 20 megawatts plus a 2-megawatt-hour battery. No, 4-megawatt-hour battery. Larry, you had a question?
Well, coupled with that, when we talked about, so thanks for sending out this, the city on the, instead of 120% to 100% sizing of self-gen, after reading that, and looking at, I assume the other cities are comfortable with the 120%.
They are.
So I'm a little, this doesn't make much sense to me, but I have no objection. I've tried to make sense of why you even did this, but I can't.
Which part, Larry? I'm sorry.
Delimiting you to 100%.
I'll be very blunt and tell you why. Simple matter of revenue.
You know, I know, I figured that's what you'd tell me. And the solar gem percentage is so low that almost, that'd be my first one. And then I pulled out my notes from the last cost of service study. And when I saw, I think it was small general or small commercial, cost of service was, we were subsidizing to about $500,000 a year or something.
I don't know the exact number, but there was.
We weren't going to close the gap, I think, is what my notes said. But I will still say I stand not knowing why we did this, but I don't think it means much.
Well, it does. What basically it is, it says that with the organic contract and the power supply agreement, We as the owners and as the purchasers of power from PRPA say that when we have solar self-gen behind the meter for net metering, that we that as a, in aggregate or each of the individual cities will not permit one that's greater than 120% of their average total energy use. We have taken the position from a revenue standpoint that we would prefer not to forego that additional revenue and simply say, look, whatever you're going to use, that's what we're going to let you put your supply into, not 120% of your usage, so that you're not essentially a gross energy producer for the city.
Yeah, I'm not sure the way the dynamics of self-generation and everything else may make this completely new, because you have the fact that we know people are going to start putting in home storage, and that can impact the world either way. I can tell you personally, we now have two electric vehicles, so I'm charging.
And where am I looking at? Right here. And the flexibility that's going to be allowed, and yes, you're absolutely right. One of the whereases says, evolving from an industry dominated by central station power to one that will likely employ increasing amounts of distributed generation resources. We acknowledge that what you just said is occurring and will continue to occur at a more rapid pace. And there is nothing that's going to prevent us from changing those numbers or changing how we address on-site storage or other uses of say electric vehicles as a potential storage device. So every point that you just made is absolutely well taken, and this gives us the flexibility to address that as we go forward.
Any other questions?
Okay. I move to recommend that City Council approve the proposed changes to the organic contract and power supply agreement between the City of Loveland and the Platte River Power Authority. Also.
Motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
Sorry, I have one more question.
Okay, sure.
Sorry. By changing from the low side to the high side of the substation, we're basically, our costs are going to increase because we have to then account for the inefficiencies of the substation.
Absolutely.
Do we have a financial analysis on that?
It's going to be spread across the four owner cities. I don't have a specific analysis on that delta, but I don't think it's going to be very much.
Okay.
That was raised.
Yeah, I'm sure.
All those in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anybody? Is there any nays?
Yeah,
it's unanimous.
I'm sorry, who seconded that? Because it was very quiet. Okay.
Jean.
Thank you.
All right, let's move on to item number 8, boards and commissions survey results. And our longtime friend and city manager, Steve Adams, is going to give his presentation here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to request that myself in this item be switched with the item that follows me with Joyce Robinson so that she can depart.
Okay, all right.
And I can hold you for a long time.
Okay. All right. All right. Let's move on to item number 9 then, the city budget dashboard. No, Joyce?
Yes, I do.
Do you need me to go to a yes. website?
Yes.
Go for it.
Put the internet.
Oops. I mean to close. That's okay. That works. There you are.
And just click that.
There you go.
Perfect. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm going to be driving, huh?
Yes.
You can take it if you want.
You're going to drive. Okay.
Yes. I talk, he drives. So, good afternoon. I'm Joyce Robinson, the county manager, and my co-presenter here is Matt Elliott, senior budget analyst. And we're going to be showing the budget dashboard. And the dashboard can be found on the internet under finance in the budget. You can just click on it and it will open the budget dashboard right here.
And what she was talking about is this is our city's website, and then just underneath finance and then budget, it's the
the very first link, and it will download into Excel for you.
And this is all public facing?
Yes.
Yes. And so this very first tab that opens up is the All Departments tab, and this is kind of an overview of the revenue for 10 years and budget revenue, and also the expenses for 10 years. It's got a couple of ratios up there. It's got population for all the years. It's got FTEs. And over to the one side, it's also got graphs. It kind of graphically shows you by fund the revenues and the expenditures and a couple other graphs, revenues per capita. So this page just brings in every single departments, the expenses and revenues of all the different departments across the city. There is water and power. Now, water and power, currently we have it, it's classified as an enterprise fund, so it's all lumped together. It's not broken out by utility. For both the revenues and the expenses, it does show the FTEs by the different utilities. And it also has expenses broken out by the different funds. And on all of these different tabs for all the different departments, when you go over to the right, it has these different graphs that shows different revenues per capita, expenses per capita. And if there's a spike, there's also an explanation. So you can see on this one, the spike went up, of course, the water treatment plant expansion and wastewater treatment plant expansion. But it's basically the same for all the different departments. Like if you look at Public Works, they're one of the ones that have all the different funds, general fund, internal service, enterprise, and special revenue. And so then, of course, their graphs have all four lines, the spikes. And also on the very first tab is just some assumptions. So if there's any differences between the fund summaries and the department summaries, or if we've reclassified a department, like city clerk, it used to be in finance, and now it's in its own department, there's all the explanations here on this very first tab.
And this tab really explains, so as we've progressed through the budget process each year, there have been changes that have been made, and so if there was a discrepancy between the prior year or even any previous year in the current year, we will call that out with the actual year that the change was made.
So this is just a tool to analyze revenues coming in and expenses being expended and how the city as a whole is performing, you know, city as a whole and by fund for both revenues and expenses.
So I have a question.
Sure.
Sorry, I looked at it yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, it's very good. So again, so I understand that I come from the private sector. So in the expenditure number, so again, you're not putting any depreciation in.
No.
It's cash, it's almost like a cash system.
Yes.
When we do a capital item,
it's
that
capital
goes up because we operate basically on a cash basis for running, including our enterprise fund.
Well, enterprise funds are not really a cash basis, but they're presented here as a cash basis.
Okay. Jim knows I've always watched cash balances, and he's sort of teaching me that what his cash balances are and what the big gurus in downtown's cash balances are at times.
Yes, I'm familiar with that also.
Yes.
So you're really only accruals also are simply for reaccruing, basically accumulating cash. We don't really do accruals otherwise.
There's limited accruals, I would
limited.
Say.
Yes.
Okay.
I think the key is this is budget data, not accounting data.
Right.
Big
it's
difference.
From the budget book, right.
So when I go, I didn't have enough time to play with that. I'm used to trying to get my Excel spreadsheets down to one page. I get confused easily when they get out. So can I get some of this stuff down to one page?
Some of
like
this
for
stuff?
Our stuff, enterprise zone?
Oh, yes, sir. So all departments may be the one pager you're looking for, but if you're specifically looking at the enterprises, or water and power specifically, they have their own tab.
Go to that.
Yes, sir. and you just click on this right arrow here. So it's not popping up right now, but click on the right arrow, go all the way to the end, and it's towards the end, it says Water and Power. You just click on that one, and you can stay on that.
And you can download that if you want, just that particular.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Download it in Excel.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
And it does that straight from the website.
Yeah. And it will be updated, you know, once we're through with the audit. 2018 will become actual, and then the budget book will be added in for 2020.
But they can use it as a tool as they're working through their budget to put in the numbers to see what it looks like. It can be a tool for.
Any other questions?
You didn't cover it in detail, but if you go over to the All Departments tab and scroll down, you have all the departments listed on one page.
Yeah.
So you can scroll down and each department by fund is mm-hmm. listed there.
IT, library, parks, and rec.
Yeah, and water power's in there also. Yeah.
And that was, if everything's worked right, they sum up to be the total budget for the city
yeah.
each year.
Yep, they sure do.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
And this was your project, wasn't it?
Well,
it's a pet project here.
I kicked the can down over to Joyce. She put the bow on it and finished it up and made it look pretty.
Well, I had lots of help.
So this was in all the software was internally.
Yeah. Yes, sir. I mean, this was completely created in Excel.
Okay.
So there's no additional outside software used.
So you didn't go use consultants to program that or do that?
We're the consultants and she's the primary digger.
Okay. I'm going to tell my neighbor because he has this thing. Oh, yeah, the city and their consultants are.
Oh, no, this was
no
all done in-house.
Right? No. Something neat that wasn't
flipping there. Page by page, too.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Okay, anything else? All right, well, thank you.
Thanks, Joyce. Thanks, Matt.
All right, Steve. Well, I'll be postponing on here. Thank you, Joyce. Somebody in the back room reminded me that it's not near 7 o'clock yet, so I have plenty of time.
There's a
stretch.
We've got a remind. 6 o'clock is our...
Yeah, I know. That's just a little bit of...
So you used to keep them longer.
Oh, yeah.
I was reminded of that several times back there.
Yeah.
They told me to get up here and get her done, so I would do that.
Okay.
Everybody get one. You should have it's a survey document. Everybody.
Extra.
No, I got bucks.
No.
The one shot.
Thank you. So, thank you tonight, LUC, for letting me come to visit with you. It's kind of like old time here.
Yeah.
It'd be good to see everybody, and I enjoyed the meeting tonight. Very interesting meeting. Thanks for the folks that come.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. And your new. I've been here before, but I'm so used to going over to the conference room.
Yes.
I kind of headed in that direction, and then it was vacant, so I remember you guys were over here.
Yeah, we got a little more room over here.
Yeah, I like this. It's a lot better. This is a nice setup. So tonight, what I wanted to do very quickly was come and visit with you. I talked to you early on about one of the assignments that council had given me when I took over as city manager. And that was to go out and visit with all 21 now of our boards and commissions to check in with them, to let them know how much they're appreciated by our council, to determine a method of survey so that we could determine a couple of things. One, did this group feel like they were doing valid, important work? Did the mission statement for this particular group truly capture what they were doing as a group? How was the information prepared for them when they had a meeting? their staff liaisons and everyone else, and just get a sense of how it's going. After that survey's over, and we've talked about it a little bit, which I'll mention in a minute, the idea was for them to schedule a time, and it was mentioned earlier, where you all could come and visit with the city council in a study session format and just check in with them. I've been here 25 years, and I don't think all of our boards and commissions have ever been to city council before, even though they work for the council. Now, the liaisons here from council, but to have a joint between all of a particular board and commission and all of the city council has not been done. So that was one of the things that council wanted to achieve, is based upon the results of the survey and information there, schedule a time, have that particular board and commission come back and just check in with council and see if the council had any information for them, if the board and commission wanted to share some information with council. So we've tried this process out with our CFAC, Citizen Finance Advisory Board, and they've checked in now with council. And I've got others all the way from, I'm still working on some with survey, all the way up to almost ready to head to council. So I've got with 22 of these kind of like herding cats, with the idea that council will then have an opportunity to have checked in with every board and commission they have. We also have our annual meeting with our boards and commissions, our board and commission summit. And it's a good time because a lot of our council members come to that and get to see how each of the boards and commissions and what they do. And so that's another opportunity for checking. So what I wanted to do tonight really quickly was to share with the survey results that you shared with me. And we did this survey a little bit different. I purposefully sent the survey directly to each of you. And you purposefully sent the response back to me. It did not go through your liaison. In fact, your liaison is seeing this for the first time. The council asked for that to make sure that then there could be a direct communication in case there was something there that maybe you need to talk about. The second part of this was then to have that feedback compiled in a way that did not identify the person who filled it out. And in some cases, we had some comments stated in this response that if I just gave them as they were, people could figure out who did it. So we were trying to provide a summary and at the same time protect the identity of each of the people that filled out the survey. That's another thing I pledged to each board and commission, was confidentiality. So myself and Justine Bruno, who's our assistant to the city manager, we're the two that have been working on this together over the time. So when I sent out the board and commission survey out to the LUC, I now will turn to this particular document and then quickly run through it as far as a summary of what we heard from you in this particular board and commission. First, I appreciate that we had 6 of 9 complete the survey. It was voluntary. I'm not coming knocking on the door of the three. We said it was voluntary, and we appreciate that. And with this information, then, we're ready to come to this step of going over it with you. This is in the format of the actual survey that was sent to each of you. It said, are you familiar with the roles and responsibilities? And have you received a copy of the commission handbook? And in this case, everybody said yes. I've had some commissions say, what handbook? That's not a good sign. So, the second item there was, please describe your definition of the following role. So one role was the council liaison, Councilor Olson. So you were asked to describe what, in your own words, you thought that role was. So you describe it here. Then you had, the B was your staff liaison. That's the staff that's helping you and supporting you in this. And then over in C, it was the board and commission member yourself. And I like these because what these were is boards and commissions reflecting themselves, not reading out of a code, what they thought their roles and responsibilities were. And that's defined here. So if you go back to item 2A, you see there's a little I through VI, 6. So we had 6 responses, and each of you that responded is your response under each of these categories. And so I'm not going to read this to you because we'll talk in a minute about next steps. So then over to number three, and this is another one. Do you believe that the board and commission is important to the community? And again, all of you, the people that filled this out said yes, which is great. And then I started to dig in a little bit. If there's anything that needed to be changed or modified, what would that be or what should be? So we asked a few questions. The first one is meeting frequency. People here said, five responded that no change was needed on the meeting frequency of once per month. indicated, while no change is needed, longer meetings are preferred. I did not pay money to that person, okay? I didn't add that myself later. The second one here was more defined expectations. So we were checking in to see if the group felt like all the responses were appropriate. If you were feeling comfortable with what the expectations were, in this case, four responded no change. A deeper understanding by the board members of the expectations is desired. Okay, so there might be some discussion there. And one expressed an interest in changing the commissioner's role so they cannot serve over two consecutive terms. No exceptions. So of the six, one thought, maybe we should have term limits is essentially what that's coming to. So that was an interesting comment. So that's there for discussion. C was, and I realized when I do a survey, nobody's perfect, and I certainly messed up that time. I didn't really define what an ad hoc committee was. What we were getting from some of the boards and commissions is, we're not seeing a lot, Steve, so I don't think we need to meet every month. And almost, we haven't seen a lot of stuff in a long time, so I don't even know if we should meet unless council activates us as an ad hoc committee, and we meet for a certain purpose, and then we go back inactive. That's what an ad hoc committee is. So in this case, we asked about that conversion to an ad hoc committee, and again, we didn't do a good job of defining it. But five indicated that no change is needed, and that one would indicate a change would be okay if used sparingly. And again, given the amount of authority you have as a board and the amount of agenda items you still have, it wasn't my fault you had agenda items. I see it. They're still coming. That you had things you need to take care of every month. So I think in that particular case, that was the discussion about an ad hoc committee, and I think that was the item there. On five, it said, please rate the following processes. And so one on a score was the poorest, five was the greatest. And they said, how about the agenda and the packet? And again, I had to throw in one typo to see if everybody would pick it up. And so on A, there's agenda and packet process. And there was comments of four and fives, and one had an item comment there that said that the one member indicated that the day of the meeting additions prevented their score from being a five. In other words, they had received modifications on their packet, like the day of the meeting, and they wish they'd had them sooner. So I understand that. Staff communication, very high marks. Council communication, some zeros, twos, fours, twos, fives. And not rated. And then board and commission attendance, fives and fours, and not rated on that. Then the board was asked, as an experienced member, would you recommend this board or commission service to someone else you know? And out of that, you got four responded yes, and two did not respond. And then finally, here were the other comments. So again, there is comments here from six different survey results, and there are six different survey comments here. So everybody took the time to go into the comment section and indicate a comment, and that's what these comments were. And comments like, these are great in serving the community. Others had they thought there was a lot here, and maybe they should split the functions of the boards. They included broadband, but this group, we specifically made a separate board for broadband for that exact reason. We thought water, wastewater, power, and broadband would be a lot for one board and commission. And then some expressed some interest about learning more about future growth plans from our council and other departments. Some talked about environmental impacts and making recommendations, and some nice compliments about the staff. So, Mr. Chair, the thing that I do now is I turn it back over to you to see if there's any other comments that the board would like to make. And then have you all determine if you're comfortable kind of moving forward with the six comments you have here, and if you would like to maybe schedule this for a future meeting where you can discuss it amongst your board members after they've had a chance to read this in more detail. And then what I've done and worked with other boards on is I've actually come back, gathered more feedback from them, added it to the back part of the comments section, and then it's this document that would go to the city council the night of the presentation where you're with them at the study session, to kind of help inform the council of where you're coming from, and then have your discussion from that point. So you do have the opportunity still to give more comments if you wanted to provide them in a public setting here, if you wanted to have more discussion amongst yourselves as board members in your setting here, that's possible. It's just, this was just a first step. The second thing then is also looking at the next attachment, which was a sheet that looks like this, and at the top it has roles and responsibilities, roles and duties for the Loveland Utilities Commission. And what we tried to do on each of the boards and commissions was develop a sheet exactly like this for each board and commission. And it had in there the background about how it was formed, when it was created, and then also its roles and duties as defined in our municipal code. So the Loveland Municipal Code actually has a code section that defines a general statement about the board and then its purpose. And it goes here under B. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 purposes, and then two more additional duties, 7 and 8. So you actually have 8 things right now. So do these 8 things capture what you do every day? Is there something that you would add to somebody that may join your board that would help describe it better than what it's described here in the code as it is now? Is there additional information you feel would be important for council to know about what you do? Should maybe you have another item there that you think is important as a duty that you have been doing over time? So these are all kind of questions for discussion. And then in here, for your particular board, then there's an additional section that's included, which is your procurement authority. Again, you're the only board that can procure and approve change orders to contracts. So there's that information included there. And that was about it. You are one of the only boards that I know of so far that's been able to do participation from a phone. So you remember for a while we had some people that traveled or out of town for a while. You're actually able to call in and participate electronically on a phone, and you are counted as being present at the meeting and engaged in the discussion as you listen, and then can make votes. And that's been allowed in our handbook, not specifically stated. So I can help you with one of the suggestions we're going to do is probably make that a little bit clearer about how to do that. There's a lot of boards and commissions that are starting to do that now because they recognize a lot of people have to travel and be out of town. And it's particularly with a board and commission like this where others are at work, have other things they got to do. So that's where I'm at right now. And I guess I'll turn it over to you for comment and whatever your board would like to do, or however else I could help with questions, I'd be happy to.
Okay. Well, you did a lot of work for this.
Steve, does one of these documents pertain to each board or commission?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's quite a composite document, then, isn't
it? It is.
Yeah. How'd it work?
That's why it's taken me, I figured out the day I've been here about, since July of 2016, I started this project in later 16. And that's why it's taken me so long to get to you. Some of the boards had some trouble with electronics and getting it, so I had paper copies, and we finally worked up to have enough people from each board fill out the questionnaire so we would have some meaningful data to start a discussion. So it's taken a little while to get there, so thanks for your patience.
Generally, what's your feeling about the response from all the boards and commissions? Is it a very favorable direction that we're headed?
Yes, we're. I have not seen a lot of them yet. I'm still on that journey. The ones that I'm seeing so far, I've seen over about half now. I think it's been great. There have been some definite questions that have come up. There is some code that I'll probably recommend to council that be changed And there are some boards and commissions that are really looking forward to having a conversation with the Opal Council. I mean, just to say, to check in. They have never had that before. They're excited, kind of excited about it. To have a direct communication with our council, all of our council.
Do you just remind me the time frame in which the survey occurred?
It started about a year and a half ago, and we just did another round sending out the people here just about 5 months ago, and then that's been the time period. It's taken us a while to get this many responses from the board.
So these responses, these six responses you received were in that large window?
Yes.
Not all 5 months ago?
No. And one of the things that's been, what we found is in a couple boards, they've had a lot of turnover. And so what we've had to do is go back and reinitiate the survey process because there was some people that had kind of retired from the board and new ones on, so we wanted to make sure we captured that feedback. So we're actually back resurveying a couple boards after talking to them.
We've had a little turnover here too.
Yeah.
You know, when I worked for the city of Longmont, they didn't have a water and power board at all, and I felt that was kind of missing the mark in the sense that they didn't have the feedback from a group like this. So I really appreciate the fact that we have it here at the city of Longmont.
They also don't have a broadband board either.
Well, can we? What's the timeline? Can we retake?
We have months. You have. I have months here. I mean, I don't want to push or rush this part. It's important. So if you'd like to have a meeting with your board and kind of go through these comments in a little bit more detail and develop some more comments or suggestions, there's time to do that.
Okay. Yeah, maybe we should put that on the agenda at the end of the presentations next month. We can discuss it, modify it, change it, or whatever.
And then what we found is people have been adding more comments because people had comments, and these comments spurred other comments, so that's fine. But however I can help in that process, I'd be happy to be here if that's going to be considered the next time.
Okay.
And again, on behalf of our council and ones right here too, would say it, we really appreciate this board and commission. You guys tackle a lot of complex issues and have been doing it reliably for our community for a long time, so thank you for that.
Yeah. Okay.
And good to see you all again.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks for coming, Steve.
Okay.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Come anytime.
I will. They don't. Janelle doesn't let me out of the office much, though.
Oh, yeah.
Janelle's a good one.
All right, let's move on to commission and council reports. Steve, you want to start off? You got anything?
Sure. Let me just highlight a couple things here. Since the last meeting, probably the predominant thing was our trip to Washington, D.C. with the National League of Cities. And in conjunction with the National League of Cities, is you have the Colorado Municipal League. I went in Friday and on Saturday, we had an urban planning exercise in which there's a portion of the city that was destroyed by fire, and the city council issued an RFP to try to get developers come in and rebuild the city, that section of the city. Use Legos, and there's a whole list of criteria that you what council wants to meet. And they've got a homeless, and we got to provide affordable housing, and they have some historic buildings they want to save, and so on and so forth. So it was a fun exercise to kind of put things into perspective that a city might have to deal with in the case of some kind of natural disaster and how to rebuild a city. And it was very interesting because of the differences in the groups. There was four groups, and they were very different philosophically. One of them says, we don't need any stinking, homeless housing. And so they eliminated. Well, there's a penalty for that, so they got hit with a penalty on that. Part of it is you got to get a return for the city, and you got to get a return for your investors as a developer, because you're coming in from a perspective of a developer. And one group maximized the revenue, but they didn't meet hardly any of the criteria that the city wanted. So it was really very different perspectives of each of the groups coming together. And you had six members in each group, and they all had different roles. So you had to participate playing the role. I was the marketing guy, so I had to sell the deal. And just as an aside, we won. So our group took the prize. Lego keychain is my prize for the participation. The rest of the time there was pretty much participating with Colorado Municipal League. So we're dealing with Colorado's problems. And what basically you do back there is the cities come together to address, well, collectively, what are the issues that we're facing as a city? And then when you scale it down with the Colorado Municipal League, it's, well, what are the Colorado cities specifically facing as far as issues? And then after you kind of get your strategy together, you meet with your congressmen and senators to basically see, hey, here's our issues, what can you do to help us? And so we met personally with Senator Gardner, Congressman Neguse, and then the staff of Senator Brenner's office. Senator Brenner wasn't available. But things we talked about is infrastructure, for one, looking at the president wants an infrastructure plan, Congress would like to come up with an infrastructure bill. What that looks like, we don't know yet. But, you know, basically we were there saying, hey, we do need this. We have a lot of issues facing us in Colorado. Local broadband assistance are looking at providing some funding and some basically some legislation that would make it easier for the installation of broadband, so it would help us in some degree. We talked about water infrastructure, and some of the things that mainly what I talked about is, you know, our difficulty in getting the storage facility built, and what assistance they might be able to provide in that regard. And future storage, you know, how can they expedite the process? And President Trump wants to expedite the process and have the whole thing done within, I think it's 18 months, which now is years. So we're looking at some assistance in that. Looking at some workforce development and help in that regard. A lot of the industry out there can't get workers. So what are some alternatives for helping out, making, getting a better supply of talented workers? Affordable housing was an issue. We talked about alternative energy programs and some of the things we're doing here in Loveland. Of course, you're probably familiar with the remote towers, so we talked about that. That'll probably be activated. By the end of the year, we'll have our own control tower operated remotely. So I guess it's a wall-to-wall. I don't know why they have all these computers in there and these screens in there, because there's nobody there, but that's kind of interesting. For one of the issues I'm on is homeless. I'm involved in that. And one of the there can be a significant amount of savings if you can identify the high users of healthcare that are homeless. And if you deal with that, Los Angeles saved $6.5 million. It's Los Angeles County. But they control everything. They have run the homeless program, they have the healthcare facilities, I mean they have the whole thing. So information flows freely among them. In Loveland, we can't share information because of HIPAA. So when you go out to the hospital, they can't tell us who the big homeless users are. So we don't know who we need to go out, reach out to, and address. So that we're looking at maybe some relief to where we can share information when we're dealing with the homeless program. I guess that's pretty much that's the highlights of the things we covered back there. One of the other ones, I don't know if you, I suppose the towers, with the cell towers.
Small cells.
We addressed that at length. John Fogle's actually kind of the point person on that. Where basically we could, without our control consent, we could have up to 1,100 of these little cell towers throughout the city. With a refrigerator on the bottom or top or somewhere associated with it. So meeting with the FCC, they thought, well, maybe we went a little bit too far taking away too much local control. So that is being reconsidered, I understand. That is, but there is also some other things that we might be able to do to require that, okay, instead of each vendor having their own little tower, and so it's really, say if you got three vendors, they each get 1,100, you got 3,300 towers around the city, that we make them, consolidate them, and we can put them underground, the boxes underground, which we would have to change our code to do. So there, we could possibly get some relief on that. That's about the highlights of my trip.
Okay. All right. Commission reports. Larry, you want to start?
I have a question that to give an answer to my wife from the White Friend Conference. So out on North Boyd Lake Avenue, north of Eisenhower, about a mile and a half, maybe 2 miles, and there's some condos that sit over in a developed area on the west side at the lake there. Is that in the city of Loveland?
I don't know about the city, but I don't think it's within our utility. I think that's Fort Collins Loveland Water District up that way.
They serve sewer up there. They serve sewer, but not water.
Oh, good.
I think it's Little Thompson extends up there, doesn't it?
No, they have a couple ones right along 34, but I don't think it goes that far north.
How far are Fort Collins? Sorry, Little Thompson serves the first part of the lake development there as you're heading north.
Right.
Boyd Lake Shores.
Boyd Lake Shores.
It switches to Little Thompson.
When you go farther north.
Fort Collins Loveland is before the north.
So anyway, my wife and other women, this one woman and couple we know said, that damn water board, they are doubling our rates, they're going to run us out of business. The HOA can't afford the water rates of heaven, and I hate them. Okay. So, this will make my wife start talking to me again.
All right. Yeah. Not your fault, huh? All right.
I didn't think it was, but.
All right. Good.
So, Randy?
I don't have anything. Gene?
Yeah, we recently got the, last week or so, got the survey back from the city regarding the half cent or 1 cent tax proposal that's coming up. And I assume that would go to a vote next year. Is that how that's going to work?
They don't know yet. It that's part of that process, whether it would go in 19 or 20.
Yeah.
So there's still some decisions to be made on that, but this would be part of the feedback.
I had a couple of inputs on that. There is one location on 22nd Taft that's a bit of a dangerous intersection, and I made a note there that probably needs some improvement, and I don't think that's involved in the improvements.
I don't recall seeing that as one of the items.
No, it's not.
Here's the thing. I am not familiar with what Public Works is long individual yeah. projects. That may be a planned project that's not on this big project list, so I can't speak yeah. to that.
And then a couple of the facility managers at Chilson mentioned that they felt that the new rec center may be undersized based on the anticipated upcoming use. So that was an input that they asked me to give.
Okay.
John? No input today.
I have nothing.
Tom? I have nothing.
All right. Director's report.
I have really good news. Last week's Snowmageddon, where we did, the city was shut down officially. Most folks for here at Water and Power showed up. I did choose to send a great deal of them home through the course of the early morning. Starting about 9:57 that morning, as you recall, it was rain early. But at 9:57, we got our first outage report. We had a total of 10 outage reports. The line crews responded admirably. There were other ones for individual services, but there were 10, not major outages, but involving more than just a couple of folks. They were all wrapped up by 2 o'clock that afternoon. So everybody was back in power by 2 o'clock. So, and obviously they were sequenced through. Nobody was out before I was sequenced through that. So a great job was done by our line crews. And yesterday, as a matter of fact, our operations supervisor, Garth Silvernail, hosted Aspeland which is the orange trucks that go around, and they're our contractor that does the tree trimming contract. And many of you know, I don't know if you do know, that PG&E is in a lot of trouble out in California, and one of their problems is they can't seem to keep branches off the power lines, and so there are issues caused by that. Not a single outage was caused by a branch or by a tree. And so we had a thank you lunch yesterday for Asplund, for their crews that are working for us, and very well received, and they're doing just a heck of a good job. They really, really are. So not a single outage caused by, mostly it was phase and the ice buildup.
You know, I think based on the experience at XL, that, you know, you're ready to be commended for the performance here.
It's those guys down in operations, and we had a great deal of backup from the administrative staff, Colleen, folks up front taking incoming calls. So there was a lot of support for dispatch down in the corner, and it was just a really good team effort.
Okay. I had a question about that. So I saw a contractor working on a power pole that apparently got hit out on I'll say East 57th.
Okay.
Just wondering if that was our. Did we engage any contractors replacing the poles, or was that like a REA?
I can't
East 57th and what?
So Monroe, a little past Monroe.
Okay. Yeah, that's not. Okay, yeah, it's not ours. I didn't think it went that far out there. Yeah.
I think
so. Good news.
I think some land has been accessed out close to 57th on the south side, but I don't know about the power situation out there. There's a number of power poles that have been there forever, going east to west.
So that's about all I have. It was really good news. And and as you mentioned, and as mentioned earlier, the snowpack situation in both the Colorado Basin, it's over 140% as of yesterday, and in the Platte Basin, South Platte Basin, which obviously Big Thompson's part of, was over 130%. So let's hope for maybe one or two more good storms up there, and we'll be in really good shape.
And good job on the follow-up items.
Yeah.
Back of the packet, these are always good.
Yeah, that would be good job. That young lady sitting at the end of the table right there.
Good going.
Thank you.
Anything else we have? All right, we're adjourned.